Course Love Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Quarantine Quest, broadcasting live from the kibbutz upstate New York. We welcome you to, shall we say, a somewhat special version of QLS, because of the current COVID-19 reality we're living in the present, not exactly ideal conditions with technology. That said, we had slight issues with this particular recording of John Legend's episode, but we promised you guys that we're going to record a proper sequel in the future so we could deep dive with all those questions. But for now, please enjoy our conversation with one and only John Legend on Questlove Supreme. Let's do it.
One, two, three. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. The latency has kicked in. My name is Amir, not Wynn.
Yeah.
I'm now realizing.
Yeah.
This roll call has to end.
Yeah.
I have my first though.
As you see, ladies and gentlemen, we did not even bother to practice to see what if we would have latency issues.
It doesn't work. I've tried this music thing over the Zoom call. It does not work.
That was a roll call fail. Like I heard.
I was getting my freestyle ready too.
Now, what you drinking on? You got brown in there. What you drinking on?
It's actually pink. It's my rosé. I got my
rosé. It's rosé time.
You mean your rosé? Like, you
make rosé? Like, I'm the proprietor. We have LVE. We have rosé. We have Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon. You know.
What's it called, yo?
LVE, Legend Vineyard Exclusives. LVEwines.com.
Brother, you done made it. I'm done.
That's the show.
Yeah, I imagine our sales are going up now.
I make very little money on it, just so you know.
Everybody doing it.
So how the beard's growing in nicely?
Oh yeah, I'm trying to join the roots.
You truly live in Philadelphia. Yeah, I can't wait for a month from now to see how everyone's grooming or lack of grooming.
We all gonna look like Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Yeah. I'm glad all of y'all have your hairlines. Look at that beautiful hairline.
Steve is the new Questlove of the crew.
Ray Allen can't say the same. Just saying. Yeah.
So, John, thank you for joining our second live show of Questlove Supreme here on YouTube.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. I want to know how are you coping or making the most of this time period?
Well, my kids are probably happier than ever because we are home and we are hanging out with them all the time. And
are they holding you hostage right now? are you reading a ransom note?
They are napping right now. I'm so lucky because otherwise they'd be all over the house. Luna likes to get in my Zoom calls, say hi to everybody, whistle, whatever she can do to get your attention. And they're nonstop except when they're sleeping. So this is a lucky respite.
This is the best time of your life.
Y'all started this whole kind of IG programming over in your house. Like, I feel like after you guys started singing songs live and
we were early. We had talked to Chris Martin, my team and his team at the same time, basically had the same idea. We should start doing these IG live concerts. And then we both are affiliated with Global Citizen. So we started working with them to get the message out about staying home and raising money for the World Health Organization. And he started it on the Monday after everybody was in, and I did it the next day, and it's just blossomed. We've seen, you know, Quest DJing, D-Nice DJing. We've seen so many battles with the different producers and whatnot. You know, I feel like we've gotten a lot of interesting content out of this.
Dope. So what is your, what are your, I guess your I know everyone's winging this at the same time, but.
Yeah.
what's coming up next for you? Because you
so we are winging it, but we have music. So that was actually the fortunate thing about the timing was that we basically have finished the album for all intents and purposes right prior to everything happening. So there was just a few more like horns and random, you know, overdubs we had to do. But I had done all my vocals. The songs were written. So we have music ready to go. We've been releasing a couple songs already, and then we have more coming soon. And we hope to put the album out in June. But, you know, we were supposed to tour in July in Europe and then in the U.S. and Canada in August and September. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Have you considered the Badu method? I mean, you're in a position which, you know, you could be self-contained and just do it for Delph. Would you ever consider just hosting performances, just you, yourself alone at your piano?
I've done similar shows like that. We did this thing called the All of Me Tour. It was just basically me and a couple other players. And it was most of the night was me just telling stories and singing on the piano. And so I'm definitely open to doing other shows like that, but I'm not open to putting people in a room together right now until we can do it safely. I'm not trying to get people sick to come to a John Legend show, because you read the news about, you know, people getting sick going to church, people getting sick doing all these other things. And we need to get to the point where it's safe for people to even gather like that before we can invite them into our shows and expect them to show up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that a lot of people are kind of defiantly trying to go to church.
Don't do
on
it.
Sunday for Easter.
Nah.
I was just listening to the news from last night, and Rachel Maddow was going through the list of how many vectors of infection have been literally at church alone. She was just talking about how they can identify these big clusters from people going to church. And they say, I read another article, they were saying something about singing is more...
it was that choir.
Viral, yeah. It's more viral than just being around somebody. Because you're breathing, you're pushing out your saliva and all these other things. And so it's actually less safe to be singing around people than it is to just be around them in general. So it's like, you can't be going to church in those circumstances.
Yeah, I agree with you. But yeah, it's killing me watching people's reactions, because, you know, most of them are just like, you know, I got the blood of Jesus covering me.
Yeah, no, don't.
I'll be protected. And
now the black numbers have come up this week crazy in a lot of our favorite cities. And that's a problem.
Yes, it is. And we are the all of us are equally susceptible to the disease. But when you have a community that's already underserved in so many other ways, we are more susceptible to getting the worst of it, to dying, to having really severe outcomes out of it.
In my mind, I imagine that you and Chrissy watched we in this household, we watch the Daily Briefing. It's just, we got to know some things. You
I
know.
Don't watch it. I've watched zero.
Y'all don't watch. So
it angers the shit out of me.
What are you doing like on the daily? Because I know you like to keep your...
Chrissy's rule is she does not listen to Trump's voice.
Okay.
She will not, if he's on the news, even if he's on the news of an anchor that she likes, she doesn't want to hear his voice, and we will change the channel if his voice comes on.
What about Dr. Fauci, though? Cool.
I feel like I could read it later, and Rachel Maddow summarizes it for me well enough, so I'm like, I'll just listen to Rachel.
I catch all that.
Yo, dog, it's to the point where now even, I mean, you know, normally I would watch Maddow without fail, because, you know, but this will be my second week without watching.
Yeah.
I'm
one of those people that, like, I would always not watch the news if there was, like, a disaster or any kind of thing where the press was all kind of, even like a shooting, like, I couldn't watch it because I don't like everybody gathering around a tragedy on the news. Like, I just, it's something about my personality. I don't enjoy that as news. I don't like it. I don't like being around it. But for some reason, I've been watching this because I do actually want to know what's going on. And it's such a political story, too, because it's about leadership and it's about how leadership organizes people around a crisis. And I think that's the thing that interests me about it.
Well, one day I'll jump back in the fray. But yeah. For now, just for my mental health.
No, I get it. And that's how I am about
this
most
is me
of
and
that.
These chickens on this farm, man. I'm happy.
Can I just ask you and Fonte a question real quick, since y'all are both a part of one of my favorite shows on TV?
Oh, yeah.
But can we just talk about Sherman Showcase real quick?
Yes, let's talk about it.
Okay, and what's going on? You know, I'm just let...
Well, Fonte, you want to tell her what we filmed a couple of months ago?
Yeah, man. So we got a Black History Month special, which in true Negro fashion is coming late in June.
During Black Music Month.
During Black Music Month. Oh, that's so, yeah, cool. We shot it in January. And I still haven't seen the whole joint. Diallo was kind of telling me
stuff. It's dope. I've seen the edits. It looks great.
Yeah, he said it's amazing. He said he really is dope. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's coming June. And Sherman Showcase is on Hulu. And Hulu just announced like free subscription or free trials, I think.
Yeah. So,
Word? I can
go check it now.
You know? Can I get refunded from my...
No. But everybody else, Amir, that's not working every night like you are.
Right.
And
we were in a scene together. Me and John did one scene together. Like,
yes, we did.
Was it with Fonte or the guy?
Tariq and I are in it, but we're animated.
He was the pastor at the time. He was the pastor.
Yes, indeed. Pastor James. He's in the video.
Yeah. Pop and low for Jesus. Now, the show is the most well-reviewed thing we've ever done as a production company. I've never seen so many great reviews for something we've done. The New York Times, all these other lists, you know, what to watch while you're under quarantine. Like, the show's on all those lists, too. So hopefully people will give it a chance, because I think once you get into the world, you really get into it.
I don't want to discount, though, your other show that you had on WGN.
Yes, Underground.
Journey.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
What's the deal with Underground now?
We couldn't bring it back. You know, the station was getting bought by that conservative news organization.
Sinclair,
yeah. So they were buying the station and they decided to go in a whole nother direction, even though we were the most popular show and got the most buzz for the network of any show that they had on. They decided to go in a different direction. They're the same organization that bought all those local news stations. Do you remember that?
The news reporters.
The news reporters all reading the same script. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're the same organization. So we didn't have much of a chance to stay around. We tried to sell it to other networks, and it was a bit of an expensive show to produce. And so a lot of networks didn't want to take it because it was kind of like secondhand, and they didn't want to spend all that money to make a secondhand show.
Show producer, how do you figure that's different than
music,
working on music and whatnot?
Well, it's less hands-on for me because you're leaving it in the other creators' hands. So you have writers, you have directors, you have all these other people that are involved, and they hopefully you hire people and you work with people that are really good at what they do. And so it's not nearly as hands-on as I would be on my own record. I feel like it's mostly about making good personnel decisions and then picking good projects to be part of creatively.
Are you going
to? TV is a lot more organized than music. Music is the wild, wild west.
Like, it is.
Dude, music is, you might get paid, you might not. Like, TV, everybody, it ain't no such thing as doing some shit off spec. Like, if you do something, you're going to get a check for something.
Yeah. TV is better organized. Film's better organized. Hollywood's just more like corporate than the music world is.
Now, what is theater?
Not. Theater, well, the theaters have the strong unions, though, you know, so there's a lot of rules around how you do things in the theater, too. The unions are very strong, and so there's a lot of structure around that. And so I feel like that's pretty, you know, it's pretty on point as well.
Well, you know, I have a wish to see you can weigh in on this, Bill, or not. I mean, at the beginning of In the Heights in Hamilton, like, did you feel as though, you know, the system was pretty much stuck in its ways, whatnot?
22. I didn't know what the fuck the system was or which way it was stuck in it. But yeah, something like that. I don't know. to me, theater has the worst business plan ever. If it's a success, then you make money. If it's anything before a success, it's a total disaster.
Yeah.
I see. So
it's a shitty business plan. It's the shittiest business plan there is. It's either you invest millions of dollars, and only if you're a humongous success do you make the money back. If you don't, then it's a failure. It's just the business plan doesn't make sense to me.
So there's no middle ground. There's no such thing as a moderately successful theater show.
It's, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, just think about real estate in New York. And so part of it is you have to occupy and pay for this real estate in New York and get people to show up. And then you have to pay everybody's salaries and everything based on the union, scale. And it's just the original baseline nut that you have to pay for is a lot of money.
Ooh, I'm scared.
Even the model that y'all...
No, Tariq's play starts right in now. November. And like, this isn't like, you know, where you just put a little bit of money in and then you're a producer. Like, we're really funding this joint. So it's
But Amir, are you fearful now? Because, I mean, not to put that on you, but when are people really going to feel comfortable being in theaters and in New York and Broadway? You close.
The thing is that, you know, after taking a cue from Hamilton to see how radical that was, I mean, I just have this desire to really update Broadway. Broadway is somehow stuck between this post-Tin Pan Alley, jazz hands kind of Broadway, like that kind of era where, you know, it could really use a refresh or a redo. And, you know, based on, did you see Tariq's play yet, Laia? Like any of the practice?
I heard about it. I heard it's amazing, but I haven't.
Uh-uh. It's just as mind blowing to me as Hamilton, but it's like the complete opposite, where you don't feel good about any of the characters. It's like if Hamilton represented everything that was beautiful about the Obama era, then this is the tray for the play for the Trump era. And the thing was, they wrote this, you know, during like the beginning of Obama's second term as a kind of a satire. But it's just like, it's real now, which makes it even more on point. So
it is like Idiocracy.
Dude, it's Idiocracy the play. That's what it is.
Wow.
Like, people are mind blown, but
what's the name of it?
Black No More.
Okay.
It's based on one of the very, John Ridley, who did 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, I know John.
Right. He wrote this back in 2012, came to Tariq around 2013, and they developed it the last 4 years. It's a scathing play. It's amazing, but no one's going to feel good about themselves leaving the play.
They won't be congratulating themselves for going.
No, but I mean, the guilty aspect of it is going to, like, it's a play about kind of in the Harlem speakeasy era of Harlem, a black man who meets a white girl in a speakeasy who, you know, they flirt and whatnot. And she's sort of like, you know, this ain't going any further than this basement because, you know, I could never take you home to my father, yada, yada, yada. And this guy wishes that there was a way that she could fall in love with him. And he gets some sort of operation. This is based on a book. He goes through a process that turns him into a white man. And then
Soul Man in reverse.
What'd you say?
Like Soul Man in reverse.
Yeah, this book was written in 1936 as a satire.
And, wow. It's kind of like Eddie Murphy's SNL.
It's very much like that skit. Yeah. And shit bro. Just hits the fan even crazier. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's rack up the Tonys.
Let's go.
All of y'all.
Get this EGOT.
Oh, ghetto, man.
Ghetto, my bad.
Nah,
ghetto,
you ghetto.
Ghetto. You ghetto.
The single is out now, or is streaming out now, correct?
Yeah, so we have two singles out. One's called Conversations in the Dark. We put that out in January. And then Actions is the one we just put out a couple weeks ago. You played it on your live,
right.
Instagram live the other night.
Do you have a title for the upcoming record yet?
Yeah, it's called Bigger Love. And then the next single is going to be the title track called Bigger Love. And then we got joints, man. I'm excited. I did Rafael Sadiq, exec produced the whole thing. He's done my last couple albums, exec producing wise, for the Christmas album and the Christmas Deluxe. And we were just in a nice groove and we just kept working together on this. But I worked with other producers and writers, and Oak produced the last single, Actions, Oak Felder. Mm-hmm. And he produced another one on my album that's really crazy called Ooh La. And we got some good stuff on there.
Do you record at the crib, John, or you still go to the studio?
I still go to the studio because I like to feel like I'm going to work. I like to leave the house, be away from the kids, go to work, and then come home and be present with the family.
I can dig it.
What studio did you record out of?
At Raphael's Blakesley up in North Hollywood.
Oh, is Jerry still his engineer?
Yeah, Jerry still mixes.
With the Christmas lights?
Yeah, so Jerry mixes. This guy named Alex is the recording engineer. But Jerry makes.
Yeah, Raphael's dude Jerry likes his atmosphere to look like Christmas. So he always, even when he is not at his studio ahead of time, he'll send like all this Christmas decorations to the studio to get set up. And he wants it to look like Christmas when he's mixing. So he's been doing that for like the last 30 years with Raphael.
His first record he did for me was my Christmas album. So how perfect.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I thought he had it in there just for the festive music.
Nah, Jerry engineered what they do on Illadel Faf Life and was like, we had to wait an hour for him to get like the Christmas decorations up. So no, he's been doing that forever. He's been doing that forever.
John, I always wanted to ask you, man, who is Maxine? Because she had you going down through there, bro.
Oh, you know what? Maxine was completely fictional, truthfully.
Really? Man, I love that song.
I was writing that song with the guys from Sara.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the whole crew, including Omas and Taz and everybody. So we're in LA at their, they had that house studio in Los Feliz or somewhere around there, Silver Lake. And we were just hanging out and we were writing the song. And I had just listened to Guess Who I Saw Today, My Love? Nancy Wilson.
Oh, Nancy Wilson.
So Nancy used to sing that song, and it was about, it kind of goes through the whole story of, you know, I was hanging out at this lovely bar and I'm blah, blah, blah. And awesome. And oh, I saw this beautiful couple and blah, blah, blah. And oh, it was you, nigga.
I saw you, nigga.
And Richard Owens Hughes Jones.
And so I had listened to that not long before that. And we were just singing. We were just playing around on the instruments, and I start singing, she may not be you, but she looks just like you. And I was like, we should write a song kind of in that same lyrical vein where I describe this whole setup of these two beautiful people hanging out with each other, looking like they're so in love. And it was her the whole time. I'm like, she may not be you, but she looked an awful lot like you. And then we decided at the end we should call her name. And we just made up a name that sounded good.
Maxine.
And so
every Maxine I know is over the age of 60.
And we wanted it to sound quaint and like old school. And then it turns out, and I did not know this at the time, my grandmother's middle name is Maxine. And so she thought I had written it Maxine because of her name, but I had no idea that was her middle name at the time.
Oh, you don't wing it.
I love that song, man. I love that record. That whole Once Again album, like, I love that.
Once Again is my favorite. Like, it's one of my favorite things I've done. Wake Up is one of them too. The one I did with the Roots, and then Once Again is like my heart. I don't know.
That's my favorite one. That's about my.
Well, Show Me on it, right?
Yeah, Show Me's on there.
Yeah, that's the one. Sorry, that's a lot of them, but that's.
Hey, John.
Reprise.
Yeah.
Steve has a question over there.
It's me, Sugar. Have you written any new songs since the quarantine started? Anything at home?
I have not. And I, part of it, I think, is just kind of feeling like, oh, I'm done with my album and I can relax for a while. I don't have to write something. But also, I don't like writing at home. So it's the perfect storm of me not getting anything done at home.
So wait a minute. When you're home, that's not your creative hub at all?
No, I almost never write at home. I like to schedule time, go in. Sometimes I'll sing stuff into my phone at home. Like, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to sing this into my phone and then finish it at the studio because I like to go to work. See,
your separation of church and state. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Because if anything, I would figure that this time period is probably the best time period for all songwriters and all screenwriters and book writers. Like,
but it's really not, though.
Explain.
Well, if you have kids, it's not.
If you don't have kids, maybe. If you don't have kids, maybe.
You stuck home? So you just can't get 3 hours of complete
doing shit.
Oh, hell no.
So the middle row is just
hell nah.
I got a daughter named Luna too, and we got one of those at home. We don't do shit. We can't do anything.
Okay, duly noted. I'm about to buy a crib. We'll have a separate bat cave for myself. I got it now. Okay. I get it.
Yes, I just don't think now, like in the middle of what everybody dealing with, just the stress of the pandemic, I don't think that really lends itself to creativity very much. You know what I mean? So much of, at least for me, so much of what you pull from comes from outside sources. Either, you know, like if you go out and you see a couple and you think something, or you know, you kind of go out and pull from these different experiences. When you don't really have that anymore, and on top of not having that, but you're constantly watching people that you know or know of get sick or die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't thinking about no goddamn rap music. You know what I mean? It's just... I think
some people will be inspired by it and write some dope shit from it. It will fit into certain people's style of writing and their worldview, and it'll propel them to write some dope stuff. I really believe that's possible, but it ain't inspiring me at all.
Y'all making me feel bad now, man. I'm like,
I don't know, five chapters.
No, I got. Dude, having kids, like, I got responsibility. I know it's not the same as having kids.
Nah, but you got responsibilities, though.
You know, single people, I mean, I'm just saying, but I also know that when you have two children in the home every day, all day, that's a different situation, and I appreciate my privilege.
Yeah, it is very different. And to Amir, I think maybe why you kind of getting stuff done in that way is because you finally been forced to sit down now. So, you know, when you writing and stuff like that, it's like, all right, you know, you finally have a chance to really buckle down and do it. Which is different than a lot of people.
But I'm just not feeling like writing songs right now.
You thinking about writing a book at some point in the future?
I had always thought about it, but
he has to.
I have to at some point. But
you write one on finance, look, John Legend?
No, I'm not. I'm not enough of an expert.
No, like seriously, John, save everything. Like, don't, you know, save everything. Just put it in storage. You'll need it. You'll need it for your memoir. Trust me.
I got to write one at some point.
There's stuff I wish I saved for, you know, memoirs, that notes that I wrote, old lyric sheets or that sort of thing. Save everything.
So, two questions. One, is there a full-length version of Angel with you and Stacey?
Yes, there is. We put it on her...
it was on her record. The one
on
that was
her EP, yes. We put it on Stacey's EP, Stacey Barth. She's a dope singer and songwriter. She's written a lot of songs for big artists. And she was signed to my production company for a while as an artist. And she put out a couple EPs. And we had her guest on Love in the Future. We did a shortened version of Angel on
that's
there.
My favorite version. I like that version. I wanted
Thank
the full list of that one.
Yeah, so that's on if you could find it, but Stacey put it on her EP.
And also, okay, second question, Hold On Longer.
Oh.
Talk to me about that one. I love that fucking song.
That was Fauntleroy's idea. So he wrote a couple of those songs with us, and you know his zone. It was right in his zone. he wrote a couple of those type of joints with us for the album.
I love that record, man. And also, since it's Q-Tip's birthday tomorrow, talk about
that. Don't wait till tomorrow.
That was a joint. I like that.
That was me and Kanye's like sleeper favorite on the album, because Kanye was exec producing that album. And I went in over to Kamal's house in Jersey, and we just jammed for a little while, and we came up with that song, and that's our sleeper favorite on Love in the Future. It didn't get a lot of buzz, but it, something about it, just that group.
That's the one. That's the one. It's a good stepper song too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
In the wake of Bill Withers passing and your great re-recording of his song, I Can't Write Left-Handed, can you just comment on the recording of that song? And
yeah.
John.
Here's one of the things I did save, Quest.
Where's that email?
I have it. I'm going to pull it up right now.
I got to see that email.
Hold on.
Oh, so I was like, did I imagine an email? Did I make that up?
Yeah, he wrote it for real. Yeah. I resent it to my manager and that was with me back then. And he had sent it to me. This is from October 6, 2010. And here's an email from Bill Withers. I'm going to read it to y'all.
It's a little bit long. Exclusive.
Exclusive. Boom. Okay, here we go. Alex, some time ago, you contacted Marsha regarding John Legend's recently recorded album and offered to introduce her to Greg, one of the guys who managed me at the time. She probably attempted to forward the message to me or meant to forward it to me. Quite possibly, it was during one of those periods where I was in Marsha, Alex, and everyone else overload and just ignored all incoming information for a while. Anyway, I just found out about the John Legend recording yesterday in a much more interesting fashion. Having sat down to watch a documentary on Louis Armstrong, the phone rang 15 minutes into it, and the voice on the other end says in this stilted tone, "Did I awaken you, sir?" Just as I was about to hang up on whoever this clown was, the voice said, "Bill Withers, this is William Felton Russell," which of course was followed by the unmistakable cackle of Bill Russell laughing on the other end of the line. He then proceeded to read me the titles of the songs on a John Legend album that he was listening to and informed me that I Can't Write Left-Handed was included in the list of songs that were recorded with the Roots Band for the album. We then proceeded to share stories of the people that it had impacted our lives, such as Jackie Robinson, Joe Louis, Jesse Owens, etc. We continued on to have the obligatory conversation about Obama and whatever else 270-plus-year-olds of our ilk might run their mouths about in catch-up conversations. An hour and a half later, having purged ourselves of all current topics worthy of chit-chat for the moment, we ended our conversation. I hit play to resume watching the Louis Armstrong tape as I digested the conversation that I had just had with my old friend and lifelong hero. When the Louis Armstrong story finished, I went to my computer and watched the session with John and the Roots on YouTube. While digesting the pleasure of witnessing the heartfelt and caring interpretation of this song by John and the band that Ray Jackson and I had written, probably before he and most of the band were born, it occurred to me that it had indeed been a day spent in the company of legends. Conversation about legends with a legend while watching the story of a legend, capped off by the flattery of John Legend taking the time to revisit and revive an old song written with a dear friend, what actually gotten me into the music business and who left us much too soon. Ray Jackson passed away some years ago. I'm sure that Ray Jackson would have joined me in thanking John and the Roots for their attention to this song and in congratulating them on a job well done. Since they put me in such a good mood, I will find it in my heart to not hold a grudge against Questlove for making me sound so ancient in his otherwise flattering introductory and explanatory comments on the video. Smiles. I was further soothed by the fact that Bill Russell is really old. Congratulations to John, appropriately named Legend, for all the work he does in education and for projecting a good, wholesome image for us all to appreciate. I would appreciate it if you, whoever you is, would share this letter with John and the Roots. I would further advise you to avoid contact with me in the future if you don't. Rendered grumpy by the rare, rainy, cloudy, yucky weather here in LA today, but buoyed, revived, and sustained by my day with the legends yesterday, Bill Withers.
Wow.
That's a letter.
This dude can tell a story, man.
Yo.
He's the musical uncle we never had.
His emails are lyrics.
His emails were legendary because every time he wrote one, he had all those extra little colors and flavors in there that you normally, I'm just like a yes, because I'm always like approving something.
Yeah, like, email. Okay, like, great. Nice. Okay, thanks.
Cool. He would write such great emails.
Wow, man. Yeah, when he came to the show,
yeah,
to see us perform it, he was just, it was everything I ever wanted. And that was the point in which I was really kind of not, you know, I was a little gun shy with meeting idols by that point because so many had let me down before.
Yeah.
But he lived up to everything. Like, he was full of stories, like, and humor, and seemed like he did not seem or act like he was in his 70s. I thought he was like, oh, he might be 59, maybe 60, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's one of my regrets, man. Like, I was gunning for him for at least 12 years to try to work with him. But
yo, so yeah. he heard the live version of that too.
That was the first thing he heard, was the YouTube. We had made a YouTube video. I think that was actually in the studio. It was like one of those promo things we shot in the studio. But it was
Electric Lady.
It was a live performance, though. It was like it wasn't like edited. It was, you know, it was a straight up live performance. But there wasn't an audience there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And oh, I forgot, we did some with Spike Lee as well. I totally forgot about that.
That thing in the one of those buildings in New York somewhere.
Something five, Terminal Five.
Oh yeah, Terminal Five. We shot Terminal Five.
Should we, John? You know how long we've been trying to get this to happen? You know, this is just a preview, right? Like, you know, at some point when we all come back together in real life,
this
we're
is not
have to sit in a room.
Oh man, I would love that.
Yeah, that's why I'm not asking like the questions I normally ask for Quest Love Supreme, because I'm trying to say that for the real episode.
Yeah.
Well, just in case we don't get the real episode, I got another music question.
We will get it.
All right, so.
Fonte, like, so I ain't going to be there, Nick.
Nah, I don't know. Hell, we all might not be there. All right, so, John.
Hey.
Your first, once again.
Uh-huh.
The leak version of it was just acoustic, and then the album version, you added drums and everything. What made you change?
I don't know. I mean, I had always thought we were going to put a little instrumentation on it, so sometimes I'll record a demo of it, and I don't know who leaked it. I'm trying to remember how that came out. I also did a version on Deaf Poetry Jam. They kind of let me half sing, on a Deaf Poetry Jam. That was the first time anybody actually heard any of it, was on Deaf Poetry Jam.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Remember that?
I didn't miss that. My first time hearing it, it was the leak version.
Yeah.
I mean, this is back when albums would leak, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
the album had leaked, and that version of, again, it was just you and piano. And I thought,
I'm not even sure if I knew it leaked, honestly. I'm not even sure.
Oh, I had
sworn it was just you and piano. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now I got to go back and revisit it. Okay.
I sent it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, is that the
How
song
much fluid that, is in that flask?
Yeah. Is this a pouring beer?
Water, man.
That's a goblet of
some, like,
happiness.
South Carolina, North Carolina. What is that?
This is a
corn liquor. What's up, Steve?
Is again the joint you sampled for Doing It Again?
Yeah,
yes, that's song. Again.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking it in my head, like, they're doing it again.
Yes,
doing
that again.
Yeah, wow. And then I had another song on a record called Another Again.
Another Again.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yeah.
John, I still remember your that first album where you were sitting on the beach in your linen outfit. When you were back in the Philly days.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Before the John Legend.
I still
Legend.
Actually, wait, did you sanction? Because that, the early record, even before your first album, is up.
It is?
Your version of burning down the house.
Yeah, so that was the one we did live at
SOBs.
SOBs, yeah. Yeah, that was from like 02, I think.
Yeah.
And I got my deal in 04. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, a couple of years before everything popped off.
I remember listening to that. You had that album. You were selling it. This is back in like 03. It was Little Brother and Kanye. We was on tour together.
Yeah.
And we did the Norva in
Yes, I remember. In Norfolk, yeah.
Norfolk, yeah. And you were selling that joint. And I
remember those shows, man. And I remember I would sell those CDs out of my, you know, out of my trunk, you know, everywhere we would go. I would do gigs in New York and Philly by myself for a while. I would play at like SOBs and Knitting Factory, North by Northwest, Five Spot, all these places in Philly and New York. And I would just sell them. And I was my own web person. So I would like, I didn't program the site, but I would handle all the CD sales. So I would be like shipping them off to people. I would go to the post office every couple of days and ship some more CDs off to people that ordered them online. Can you believe we actually used to buy CDs?
Your own distribution system.
Ask you to sign.
Yeah, I feel like it's time for a sequel now, John, where we are. Like, we
got to do it. We got to do it. We always say we got to do it, but we got to do it.
Wait, which sequel? Y'all getting together making music?
The Roots. Me and the Roots coming back. Yeah. Together. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Real protest songs, man.
Yeah, man.
I like that. I like that y'all vowed to do that on tape right here in front of everybody.
Yeah, we really need to do it. It's true.
I mean, all we do is work, so. As long as I have a collaborator that's willing and shows up.
Let's work.
I'm down. You know what I'm saying? No, thank you, John. I appreciate you doing our live YouTube broadcast of Questlove Supreme. I want on behalf of Laia, Ship Steve, Unpaid Bill, Fontigolo, and John Legend, thank you very much. This is Questlove Supreme. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace, everybody.
Thanks, John. Peace.
Be well, y'all.
See y'all.
Bye-bye, John.
Peace.
All right.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.